The Star Spangled Theater. Presenting Allison Skipworth. Presenting Taylor Holmes. Presenting James Bell. Good evening, everyone. This is Gilbert Martin bidding you welcome to the Star Spangled Theater, your Sunday night theater date with stars of stage and screen in important productions selected especially for their talents. The music for the Star Spangled Theater is written by Tom Bennett and is conducted by Paul LaValle. There opened on Broadway last week a play called First Stop to Heaven by Norman Rostand. A warm, breathing story that pulses with the heartbeat of New York City. It's the story of a rooming house on 6th Avenue, an old, dilapidated structure which has weathered the years of change up to, but not including, the 6th Avenue subway. Now, owner of this rooming house is one Mrs. Carl Golden, Eva Golden, played so admirably by Miss Allison Skipworth, who is standing now beside me. And now, Miss Skipworth, will you take over, please?
Thank you, Mr. Martin, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. As Eva Golden, I am a fine, rakish character who will not allow her rumors to take no for an answer. I am officious, a busybody, and a thoroughly kind person with a heart of 18 karat gold, which I hope you will observe beating staunchly through all my strange activities. I am quite a trial to my husband, Carl, played by Mr. Taylor Holmes, as Mr. Holmes himself will tell you. Mr. Holmes?
Kitty, my dear, I couldn't ask for a more wonderful partner in life. Ladies and gentlemen, this play we bring you this evening is a joy to all of us because it is warmly human and it tells the story of a sincere little people whose demands of life are not very great. And what is also nice about our play is the fact that we guarantee you a happy ending. Mr. James Bell, who plays the building inspector, sees to that in somewhat dramatic measures. Mr. Bell?
Thank you, Taylor. Ladies and gentlemen, as a building inspector whose nerves and sanity are threatened by Mrs. Eva Golden and her husband, let me tell you that they call themselves little people, simple little people. But in my quiet way, I'm convinced that the two of them are out of their minds. But don't take my word for it. Up with the curtain, on with the show, and see for yourselves.
Early morning now in the Golden's rooming house on 6th Avenue. Mrs. Golden is scrubbing the floor of the living room.
You're up working so early.
And why not? Life is the joy of work, Carl. The struggle for existence.
With a mop and a pail, with a scrubbing brush, you call it joy? Once we had a backyard with roses. All night we had perfume. We could sell this house tomorrow and for a good price, too. The company next door wants to put up a big apartment house here. We could get back to the farm by next week.
And we could throw our family on the street to perish, too. We could hurt little children. We could be mean to animals.
You're talking around something. What family, Eva?
What family, he says. Human beings, Carl, who live with us upstairs. The Alters, Mr. and Mrs., where could they live so cheaply? He sells razor blades from a tray around his neck. Can he go to the Waldorf?
Eva, who cares that much for you and me, except you and me?
And Ruthie. Now, who has Ruthie Martin got to worry about her? I want her to marry Mr. Reuter, our best roomer and a writer.
Does Ruthie want him?
I think so. But it takes time, and it takes being near each other, Carl, and then you talk about us selling the house.
Oh, excuse me. I must be out of my mind. I forget when we take roomers, we adopt them. And I dream about a farm.
Carl, when our family doesn't need us, I promise you can have the farm. But now, we have a house full of people relying on us. Leaving their work, coming home here. Mr. Alter, Ruthie, Mr. Reuter. Mr. Reuter says that only in our house can he write those wonderful love stories.
So I'll put the farm away till everyone is happily married or becomes a millionaire.
Yes, Carl, that's right. But, Carl...
What?
The mailman told me he met a building inspector on the street. Now, Carl, could the building inspector make us trouble?
No, no. We're only a private house with a half a dozen roomers and a half a dozen gas stoves in closets, locks on all the doors, no fire escapes. No. He could find only perhaps 30 violations of the law.
No. Sarcasm is no help to me. You mean the city department is trying to step in between me and my plans for Ruthie?
Oh. Speaking of angels.
But the building inspector?
No. No, it's Ruthie. She's just coming up the steps. She looks tired, too. She walks so slowly.
Well, why not? She's been working all night on a case, and nurse has no easy job. Ruthie? Good morning, darling. Tired?
Good morning. Yes, I'm tired. But it's all right.
Carl, make some coffee. Take the pail of water and the mop along.
I'm in the way, I guess. All right, Eva. Will I bring coffee for you, too?
It would be nice. Ruthie, I have a minute before the work begins. Sit down, darling, here on the sofa.
Ruthie, don't let Eva boss you. Look at me.
She's a wonderful boss. I love her.
Carl, coffee, not comments.
All right, coffee it is.
Ruthie, your room. Isn't it drafty?
No, it's comfortable. I love it.
Oh, it's drafty. Next door to Mr. Rogers, a nice room. No drafts at all.
Mrs. Golden.
Now, Ruthie, listen. A writer can sit at his desk for years, thinking and writing stories that have beginnings and middles and endings, and he forgets that life is the biggest story. Yes.
Please don't bother about the room next door. Oh.
Oh. Mr. Reuter, you were out so early this morning, I thought you'd be still sleeping.
I was looking for inspiration. Hello, Ruth.
Well, you needn't leave this house for that, Mr. Reuter. There are people in this very house to give you inspiration to write better than Shakespeare.
Excuse me, Mrs. Golden. I think I'll go.
Like Carol Lombard, she looks. Am I right, Mr. Royden? Huh? Come. Ruthie, don't be bashful. I'll go and see about Carl and the coffee.
Well?
Well?
We meet by accident now. Why have you been avoiding me? Don't let's lose each other. What's happened, Richard?
Nothing. That's what's happened. Nothing. No checks happen. No jobs. Nothing's happened.
All right, you're poor. Many people are poor, Richard, but they're happy.
Oh, Ruthie, I've got to say something to you.
Can't it wait?
It's goodbye.
You're not really hopping a freight, are you?
Not quite.
When?
Tomorrow. I can't stay in one place too long. It's dangerous. You get to know people. You get to like people. So I get another room in a different city.
Is that what you want?
That's the way it has to be.
All right.
Do you know what it means if we tie up? I'm at the bottom of the heap, ready to run, ready to quit.
I know what you want. Self-respect. I can help.
Oh, you're taking a chance. I'm a thorn in your side.
I'd be willing.
Oh, there's no foundation, no money.
Ourselves.
That's not enough.
It's a start.
Where? Two in a furnished room, afraid of rent, afraid of kids.
I'm not afraid.
Well, I'm just not ready yet.
Well, Mr. Reuter, when you are ready, I hope you'll let me know.
What have I been listening to? A family boarding house or Madison Square Garden?
I don't want you to feel that way
yes,
about it.
Yes, but I do feel that way about it. This isn't the end of one of your chapters.
Oh, now, hold on a minute.
I think our story is over. Haven't you stories of your own to do?
Yes, I suppose I have. If you'll excuse me.
He takes orders, that guy. Hello, kid. I'm still waiting for a sign. Give me the green light and we're off the side street forever.
Tony.
I'm the little man that's always there. Give me the G.O. It's one syllable. The time of your life in Technicolor.
Don't you ever have any doubt?
No, and I don't write stories.
You say them just for me. For me only.
Tony, what are you doing here?
Mrs. Golden, this girl don't live right. Look at her. Tears on her face. She's made for dancing. And she walks to the funeral march.
Now, Tony, you let her go upstairs if she wants to.
Oh, she don't want to. She wants to talk to an understanding heart. Mine, for example. Ruthie, who done it and why? Who's the cause of his sadness?
Tony, you're crazy.
Tony, you are in the way.
Now, that's no way for a landlady to talk to the one roomer who pays rent.
And if I knew where the money came from, I probably wouldn't take it. Well, don't tell me. Carl. Carl, where's the coffee?
Oh, Tony, life is a mess, isn't it?
Mrs. Golden thinks I have designs on you. I have.
I want you to know.
Bet you don't go for me. Okay, this ain't a holdup.
You don't look like a hold-up man.
Okay, I'm a doctor. You're lonely. I know the cure. A trip on the high seas.
I'm afraid I'll have to decline.
Decline? That means no go, huh?
That's right.
Well, I learned another word. How about some night you and me will stand in front of the Astor and shine?
So, I'll open the door. Don't leave.
Hey, who owns this place? Anybody live here?
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Come on in. What are you, a sheriff?
Namer Golden owns this joint. Whose name is Golden around here? I'm from the building department.
Mr. Golden! Mr. Golden! Company in the parlor.
Hello? Somebody called me?
What is it? Who is it calling so loudly? Who is it, Carl?
Company, Mrs. Golden. Perhaps a distant relative. Anyway, I'm leaving.
Who's the owner? One at a time now. Building inspector.
I am.
I'd like to take a look around, just for a few minutes.
Well, there's nothing wrong in my house, I assure you. My taxes are all paid. My faucets don't leak.
Then you got nothing to worry about. This stair go to the first floor?
First floor, straight up.
Okay, I'll see what's up here.
He wears a badge, Eva. He's from the building department. I warned you all along.
What did he ask you?
Nothing.
Well, what did you answer him?
Nothing. I'm out of this now. Leave me out.
Are you going upstairs? There's no time to lose. Run up and hide all the gas stoves.
I told them already.
Well, tell them again.
All right, I'll tell them again.
All right, run.
All right, well, it's too late. He's coming down. Well, Inspector?
Oh, hold it. I got some questions. I also got a nervous temperament.
Well.
How many rooms in this house?
Eight.
What's that there?
That? Oh, that's just a closet.
No. That's a room, officer. I partitioned it off myself from the kitchen last year on a Sunday afternoon. It was raining.
Listen, mister, you can't go around making new rooms on a Sunday afternoon or any other afternoon or any time. You have to file a plan, and it has to be approved, see? That's why there's a building department. That's why there's statistics.
I didn't know.
Violation, code number 148 CVC.
I apologize.
How many rooms upstairs?
Five. Three front and two in the rear.
Fine. You might as well answer right because we know what goes on here. Just keep that in mind. How come there are locks on every door? That looks like furnished rooms. Answer yes or no. Don't explain.
Well, it's one family. Only they don't trust each other, so... So, they lock their doors.
What about the numbers on the doors?
Numbers? What about them, Carl?
Oh, well, I don't know. One morning, people all wanted numbers, and all of a sudden, there they were.
You can't change a residential house into a furnished room house just by putting numbers on the door.
No.
Violation code number 42, series B.
Well, but it's not a crime. It isn't murder.
To me, who's a building inspector, it is. Now, mister, don't build any new rooms without asking the department as a personal favor to me.
No.
And if we find any more violations, the house is condemned and out you go. I should have checked on the roof. I bet he's built some rooms on the roof.
It's the end of the house. Hey, Eva, I said it would come, and it's here. Eva, now's the time to sell before they find out about the other violations. You heard what he said? Out you go and to the farm, Eva.
Yes, I heard what he said. One family. So we'll be one family.
Eva, how?
Easy. The locks off the doors. People sitting around a table. It's a family then. One big, happy family.
Time in the Star Spangled Theater, starring tonight Allison Skipworth, Taylor Holmes, and James Bell. During this brief intermission, ladies and gentlemen, we wish to thank you for your generous response to the plays we have brought you in the Star Spangled Theater. Your letters and postcards help us tremendously in bringing to you the type of entertainment you want. Tonight's stars come to you from the new play First Stop to Heaven by Norman Rosten, now on Broadway. And our stars this evening are Miss Allison Skipworth, who needs no further enhancement, Mr. Taylor Holmes, star of stage and screen, whose performances as number 4 Gita Lester of Tobacco Road, I'd Rather Be Right, and The Man Who Came to Dinner is known to everyone, and Mr. James Bell, who is remembered in New York as being number 3 Gita Lester of Tobacco Road, The Last Mile, The House Beautiful, and Thunder on the Left, among others. The actors are taking their places again at the microphone, ready to continue their performance of First Stop to Heaven.
Now you, Mr. Alter, you see, you pretend to be the father. Now sit in that chair and read. Sit, Mr. Alton.
All right, so I'm sitting at the head of the table and pretending.
Mrs. Golden, what can I do to help you?
That you know, Mr. Reuter.
Maybe reading don't fit my character so good. I'm a natural conversationalist.
Am I supposed to be that guy's son or his nephew? I keep forgetting.
It's a wise child.
And a wise guy.
Now, gentlemen, this is to be a happy family gathering. When the building inspector comes in, please, remember what is at stake.
You can't beat the system, Mrs. Golden. He knows that old guy who sells razor blades is no relative of mine.
By mutual consent, no doubt.
And he'll know no father in his right mind would let a daughter like Ruth tie herself to this Reuter guy.
Now, please, please, this bickering must stop.
Good evening, family.
Carl, oh, I'm glad you came. Sit down and make them stop quarreling.
Eva, it don't look like one family to me. Where's Ruth?
She'll be coming. Please, please. Oh! He's here.
Yeah.
Carl, let him in. Now, please. Now, everybody. Now, make the inspector think you're a family. You, Mr. Alter.
I'll do my best at pretending, Mrs. Golden, but the government...
Shh, shh. Here he comes. Oh, well, look who's here. Mr. Building Inspector, in a personal appearance. How are you today? Have a chair.
I don't want a chair.
Sit down and relax. Everything has changed now. I have a one-family tenant upstairs. You go up and see. You won't find one lock on the door.
I'm going down to the cellar, not up this time.
Well, what's the matter with my cellar?
I don't know, lady. I didn't go down yet.
Well, this is my new tenant, the head of the family. Mr. Alter, meet Mr. Inspector of the building department.
What's the trouble? Look, Mr. Inspector, I'm living peacefully with my family, not a lock anywhere.
And sitting over there, Mr. Inspector, are some more members of his family, a nephew, and the fiancée of his daughter, who is not yet here.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Building Inspector.
All right, glad to meet you. Now, how do you get to the cellar?
Now, first, I'd like you to meet the surprise of the evening, the lovebirds of the family. Here comes Ruthie.
Oh, hello.
Yes, my daughter and her fiancé. Oh, but he's a lucky dog, and what a wedding we'll be having. Mr. Inspector, you're invited. Ain't he, Richard?
I don't know, Father. Why don't you ask Tony?
Now, Ruthie, Richard is the bridegroom.
It's those two, huh?
It's these two. Tony, come here. Mrs. Golden, Tony and I are going to be married.
Oh, dear. Oh, there's a little mistake somewhere. It's a practical joke.
Come, children. It's a wise father who don't know his own kids, ain't it, Mr. Inspector?
Yes, ha-ha. Look, lady, show me where the cellar stairs are, please.
I'm sorry if I disappointed you, Mrs. Golden.
Oh, Ruth, listen to me.
Too late, Mr. Reuter.
Please, everybody. Everybody go away now. We don't need you for a family. Nothing worked. Nothing is right. Oh, please, everybody, go away.
Eva, maybe she loves him.
Oh, no, my fault, Carl. I didn't do it right. I didn't work it out right. Ruthie should marry Richard. Not a gangster, but she's marrying the gangster, so what can I do?
Well, I feel sad for you, Eva.
I wish the building inspector would come up, and then we could go to bed and forget everything.
He's coming now. Is the cellar bad, Inspector?
Is it bad? Where's the light on those stairs? Where's the handrail? More violations.
Yes, that's what I want to speak to you about, to discuss...
I hope the house isn't lost because of what happened, or is it? Whichever way you decide, you know all the violations by now.
Heck with the violations. It don't matter anymore.
And I don't want any more phone calls coming into my office, do you hear?
What phone calls?
Whoever's phoning in tip-offs about your violations, keep him away from the phone because it's all over.
Phone calls? Carl?
Can you imagine a spy?
Listen to what I have to say.
Carl? There's nobody in this house who could know.
Now, don't look at me that way, Eva. You don't know what you're saying.
Yes, I do. You traitor in your own house.
I wanted to make your life easier.
And you brought on all this trouble for us?
Listen to me for a minute.
Eva, I did it for the best.
Where did you get the energy?
I don't know, except that I
You worked against me.
There's a reason.
Out of the house.
Let's have a talk first.
I'll do all the talking.
I'll explain everything tomorrow.
Stop! I said, listen. There won't be any tomorrow in this house, do you understand?
What do you mean?
I've been trying to get a word in. This house is condemned.
What?
She's cracked through the foundation. They're going to blow her up at midnight.
Eva, talk to me.
And to think that you, my partner in life, a snake in the Garden of Eden.
But I wanted that kind of life to end so that you and I could be together. Not for you to waste your years on strangers.
Strangers? Is Ruthie a stranger? Oh, look. She's coming downstairs now with her valise. And the wrong man is waiting outside for her. I'm going to the kitchen. I can't bear it.
Eva, wait. Eva.
Ruth. Eva, wait. Ruth, I heard you coming down. Wait.
Let me go.
That was quite an act you put on earlier this evening.
No, it wasn't an act. I meant it.
Are you sure of that?
There's even more to come. In fact, you're just in time for the farewell.
Oh, he's not your kind.
He wants me.
Where does it lead to?
Where you were afraid to follow. Away from a dead-end life. Away from furnished rooms and boarding houses. Into new places, exciting places. Things that I'd missed on my wallpaper boats.
Oh, listen, you little fool, you don't know what you're doing.
What would you know about it? Running away from things that want to be answered. Living in your magazine world of fake stories. The setting so exact. Everything matches so perfectly. Only there's no flesh and no blood. I found something that can happen. That belongs to you and you remember it. That's what I wanted, Mr. Reuter. But you wouldn't understand. You couldn't even understand that I loved you.
Ruth.
I'm sure you can find some solace by writing this up in one of your magazines.
Oh, please, I didn't...
Okay, bud, say goodbye. It's a quick word. Because the shooting's over and I'm the hero. Ready, Ruthie?
Ready.
There he is, officer. That's the man. Arrest him.
Hey, what's the line here?
Now you go ahead, officer. Don't you let him frighten you.
Stop pushing me, lady. Stop pushing me.
Well, there's his valise.
What valise?
Now, let's examine the complaint. Excuse me, but I'll have to open this.
There must be some mistake, officer.
I'm in charge here. Don't analyze for me.
Tony, I never thought. Why did you?
Mrs. Golden, you planted that silverware.
Hold it, son. Intent to assault and battery won't help your case.
It's a frame-up.
Tony.
I swear.
Well, I want him locked up, officer. I'm a taxpayer, and I demand protection from such tenants.
I'll get you for this, Ma. I'll track you to the end of the earth. I tell you, it's a phony. I don't know a thing.
Yeah, funny how they don't ever admit. You've seen one, you've seen them all.
Oh, wait, it's a joke, officer. The whole thing.
What? What, a joke?
I put that stuff in his bag.
Oh, sure.
Richard, sure. No.
Yeah, you see, he was eloping. Just a little fun instead of rice and old shoes, you know. You understand.
No, I don't.
Well, you didn't know, Mrs. Golden, but I borrowed the silverware. I figured when they got to a hotel, it would sort of give them a laugh. Huh, Tony? Anything for a laugh.
Yeah, sure thing. Yeah. That sort of makes up for the crackers I put in your bed.
Yeah. Now we're even, and good luck. Officer, you can go. Mrs. Golden withdraws the charges.
Why did they ever take me out of Central Park? The birds and the ducks on the lake. I had somebody to talk to there.
Mr. Reuter.
I suppose I ought to say thanks for getting me out.
I don't believe in knockout drops. With your eyes open, brother.
Meaning what?
You don't take that girl out of here.
Says who?
She's not going for your
what
kind of ride. See, I've got a lot more than you think, and this time you'll listen.
Come on, kid, let's go.
Tony, I'm tired. Let's wait until tomorrow.
Gee, kid, we're all set. Let's hit the road. Hey, come back here.
Ruth, darling, wait a minute. Wait, Ruth.
Now, Tony, wait with me. This is no place for you. You need opportunity to advance.
Ma, why don't I shoot you down? I know why. You'll always come back, dead or alive.
Tony, she's not your partner in life.
Eva, where'd you disappear to? What happened?
I
I look for you.
She's tying up a few loose ends, Mr. Golden, and me in knots. Ma, you're a winner. Goodbye.
He's not marrying Ruth.
Well, why should he marry Ruth? He's not her partner in life, Carl.
My wife is speaking to me again, Tony. Oh, he's gone.
Yes, he's tactful. He knows I want to talk to you alone. Carl, it's all right about the farm now.
All right about the farm?
I forgive you. What's that?
I see. Oh, it's the building inspector.
I knew it. Don't you people ever believe in orders? What are you doing in a house that's going to be dynamited?
Hello, Mr. Inspector.
I came back specially to tell you again the second time. This is my last checkup. I'm responsible. I'll lose my job if this thing goes wrong. Now, what did I tell you this afternoon?
Well, I'm not a child. I heard you the first time.
Do me a favor and repeat it, a special favor.
Well, you said the house must be empty by midnight.
You're a witness. I'll take care of it personally. Did any of the people leave yet?
They'll all be out by 11.
Your people can decide not to leave at all. Anything can happen here. I've seen it with my own eyes. You hear that noise?
Mm-hmm.
They're drilling dynamite holes. You see that roof? It'll come down, plaster and all. You see those walls? Split right in half.
All at once?
No. The house don't just blow right up in the air with a bang, but she settles slow. She cracks a little at a time. Not too much noise, but sort of mysteriously while you're asleep.
We'll be out of here in an hour. Absolutely.
I'll get back my health. Statistics will get back to normal again. No, I don't trust her, Mrs. Golden. First she violates every code in the book, and then she tries to make a family out of her rumors. Now she...
Yes, I know. But it's all right, because we're going to buy a farm instead.
I convinced her, Inspector. A roomy house is too much work. Too many people imposing on her. Too many people to worry about her.
Take the bags, Carl.
Those aren't our bags, Eva.
Well, all the bags is one of the people who once lived here. The lovely, good and bad people. Where would they go without us?
Eva, why are all those bags collected in one place?
Well?
Why so many bags? Are we leaving together?
Well, it's not our problem. It could be very well, though.
Don't say it.
Oh, Carl, we could use more people on our farm. That one happy family isn't a bad idea. If we had time to work on it, we might work up some very interesting problems.
Here we go again.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for truly fine performances in the Star Spangled Theater tonight. The play was First Stop to Heaven by Norman Rosten, now appearing on Broadway. Miss Allison Skipworth played Eve Golden. Taylor Holmes was Carl Golden. James Bell, the building inspector. Sally O'Neill was Ruth. Mr. Reuter was played by John Craven. And Tony was William Bishop. The special music was written by Tom Bennett and conducted by Paul LaValle. Next week, the Star Spangled Theater will bring you two of America's outstanding stars of the stage, Jane Cowell and Peggy Wood. They are appearing now on Broadway in one of our town's latest hits, Old Acquaintance by John Van Druten. Kent Smith and others of the original cast will appear with Miss Cowell and Miss Wood. Until next week, then, at this same time, this is Gilbert Martin saying goodnight to all of you out there from all of us here in the Star Spangled Theater. The Star Spangled Theater is heard tonight in Canada through facilities of the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation. This is the National Broadcasting Company.